Yes, it is Tuesday, May 17, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning if you're just tuning in. Naturally, lots of reaction to the news yesterday that Trent Barrett is no longer the coach at the Bulldogs. He reportedly, resigned on Sunday evening, and Phil Gould was adamant it was his decision, that he felt he didn't have the solutions, and poured his heart out to him as well, but Gould praised that Barrett praised Barrett's coaching ability, said he's just been in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, now who's next? We've got an interim coach said to be announced today, and then they'll take their time in finding the next man to coach the Dogs. Other news around the Trust, well, live games this morning. In fact, they've just concluded in the English Premier League. Newcastle have beaten Arsenal 2-0. So that's an awful result for Arsenal in the race for the top four heading into the final day. They're 2 points behind Tottenham, their North London rivals, who were in fourth place. And we saw Huddersfield book a spot in the Championship playoff final where they'll play the winner of the other playoff between Nottingham Forest and Sheffield United. Morning to you, Gutho. How are you?
Morning. Going all right on the way to work. So I'm back into it again and starting fresh.
You'll probably just get to training and give Reid Marnie a bit and tell him why the hell are you going there, I suppose.
It's probably a bit hard for him now. It's I've never been in that situation where you sort of sign somewhere and the coach leaves and they've got to sort of start again. But, I guess sort of feel sorry for Baz. In a way, he's sort of gone there and had it hard since he got there. And obviously, it's ended this way, but obviously, feel pretty bad for him and the team. Obviously, you go out there every week and try and do your coach pretty proud, and it's sad to see it end like that.
Hey, Gutho, I asked Loz this morning, how does it work with your boys' contracts in and around, you know, when you sign that deal? Do you sign the deal knowing who the coach is and expecting that coach to be there? And how do you go legally now if something like this happens? Can Reid Marnie get out of his contract?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. We were actually talking about it yesterday training at recovery, a few of us. We were saying the same thing, and I'm sure legal-wise you'd have to have it in your contract that if something like that happens, you could get out of it or go about it. But I think if you just sign the contract, you obviously got to go there and go on with the contract. But I'm not too sure, Clarky.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I suppose it'd be up to the individual. If the big reason you're going there is because you wanted to play under a certain coach and you've had those discussions, I don't know, that might be something. If someone wanted to change their mind, they possibly could change their mind on.
But I might start getting in his ears.
Yeah. That was my little hint for you, buddy, today at training.
I'm going to give him a call after this and start whispering. But as I said, it's a bit sad for Baz. It's obviously probably a harder job than playing. And as a player, you don't want to see that. You go out there, as I said, you go out there every week to try and do the game plan that the coaches' staff push forward, and obviously they haven't been able to do that, but it's a sad end to that, but I'm sure he'll pop up again soon.
Before we talk about the game on the weekend, Gutho, I'm interested to read about David Kidwell in the paper this morning. He's leaving you guys and going to coach Argentina in rugby union, and he wants to be a part of that World Cup coaching staff for the World Cup next year. Was that a big shock? Did you know that was coming at all?
No, yeah, big shock. He gave me a call yesterday about 2 o'clock in the arvo and just said, I think he's going to come in today and speak to the whole squad and say his goodbyes. But he gave me a call yesterday and it caught me off guard, actually. I thought he was just going to call and talk about the game as we normally do, and just said he was going to take that opportunity up, and it was an opportunity he couldn't sort of say no to, but it's disappointing. Kitty's been with us for a while now, and I'm not too sure he's going to step up into his role or anything like that yet, but I'm sure Brad will grab us and chat to us before training today. And but look, we've just got to move on. Obviously, Kitty has been a big part of it. He was our defensive coach, and our defense hasn't been too good, so if we can fix that and whoever steps into that role, I'm sure Brad and the other staff will take that in, until we find that the right person. We're not in any rush, and Well, we know what we've got to fix. So sad to see him go, but business as usual for us.
Can I ask, mate, who are the other assistant coaches out there?
We've got Steve Murph. He's been with us for about 8 or 9 years. He was up at the Titans and been with us for a while now. And then we had Kitty as the other assistant. But we've got a few others sort of below rank that are doing the doing the New South Wales Cup. And I'm sure they'll be putting their hand up to step up and jump in with us and try and improve us.
Why do you want a geek loss?
No. Clarkie's had good defence.
Great defence.
You had good defence.
I refuse.
High elbow, Gutho.
When it comes to footy, I refuse to tackle. I was a try scorer only, mate. I wasn't tackling.
That five, you just got to dig in. Yeah.
If in doubt, swing hard, Gutho.
Gutho, 31-24 against the Chooks. You trailed 25-6 there. I think that was just after half time. So what did you put the sluggish start down to?
Yeah, I don't know. It's disappointing. All the games we've lost this year, we've come out early and probably except that one against the Cowboys. The other three, we've come out early and we just haven't turned up, especially our middles. We just haven't turned up and we've let teams roll us and put 12, 18, 20, 24 points on the weekend. 24 points is way too many points to give any team, let alone the Roosters. And when we start well, we're a hard team to compete with at the back end, and we've showed that in our wins. But on the flip side, when we don't do that and we let teams get a little start on us and put points on us, we find it hard. And credit to us, we crawled back and made it a one-point game. But we just used way too much energy early, and they're a great team and made us pay. But we have to try and figure out now how and why we start like that in some games, and we need to fix it as soon as we can, because the roller coaster going up and down it's not a fun ride.
Gutho, how does that work? Like on the field, so if you start a certain way, that must breed confidence while you're out there on the field. You know, rightio, things are going to how we planned and how we play our best. But what happens in the situation like the Roosters when it doesn't start the way you know? What do you do then in a leadership position or captaincy position where you go, right, this is not what we've spoken about. Preparation, you know, it was all about how we started. How do you make that change there and then? Because it seems to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I want to be wrong, but if Parra walks out and plays Parra's way, they can beat any team in the competition and win the grand final. But if something doesn't go to plan at the start of the game, then they could also lose to the Tigers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And our results at the moment are saying that.
Yeah.
We obviously went to Melbourne and beat them and then came home and then lost to the Tigers. And then same thing last week, beat Penrith at home, at their home, and then went to that game and were full of confidence, and it just didn't work. But we don't know what it is. We need to fix it ASAP. And look, even on the weekend, we're still full of confidence when we get behind. We even that first try, first two tries, and then we're just missing an opportunity. We're creating a lot of opportunities. We got it back to 6-6 and then 12-6, and then we sort of played some ad-lib footy, and Simo's just got a little bit too eager and reached out, which would have made it 14-12. And off that penalty, they rolled us, got another penalty, and then ended up scoring again. So it's just that sort of, we end up compounding an error or a lost opportunity. And the best teams don't do that at the moment. And we're sort of doing that and shooting ourselves in the foot and making ourselves pay. But I was just super proud of how we held in. We stayed in the fight. We didn't go away from what we wanted to do. And we're still with 3 minutes to go, we'll still a chance, and it's just disappointing with the start, and we have to be able to fix that. And going into the bigger games at the back end of the year, you can't do that to teams.
Gutho, I could be completely wrong here, but I watch you guys play, and you know, you touched on the ad lib footy and things like that, and I know it's about scoring points, and I know it's about, you know, seeing opportunities and taking them, but I reckon with Parramatta, when you play that style, you get loose both with the ball and without the ball. And I think when you're a more direct style of football team and a tough brand of football, everything tightens up. And I mean, your defence, tightens up a lot more than what it does when you start moving the football. And I think when you simplify your game and you play on an edge or then you back through the middle or down short sides, rather than going long shift with long shift, I just tend to think it correlates. I think when you play power football, you tighten up with your defence as well.
Yeah, 100% agree. And that's that 20, 25, 30-minute block where we are trying to shift. We're trying to go off slow play. The ball's locked and our forwards aren't running hard to get a quick play of the ball. And we're pretty critical on our forwards after the game. We as I said, we started really slow and soft. And, look, we don't shy away from holding each other accountable after the game and on the field. And we have to be, and that's what the best teams do. But when in that first 30-minute block, we're trying to go too laterally. And instead of just letting Junior and Reg and Ice and Laney get forward for us and kicking into those corners, we were just letting them off the hook with little errors and sort of made it loose. And when we went back to that game in the second half and just went through the middle and let Mitchell play short sides and Dill play short sides, we sort of got back in the game. But as I said, we just let them dictate what they wanted to do in that first half and early second half. And when we got back to what we wanted to do, we sort of saw it flip. And we saw a lot of hands on knees from then when we were going through the middle and kicking in the corners, but it was just a little bit too late.
Has Hayes Perham got to the stud marks of Joseph Swali out of his back yet? You got a good a view, I guess, of the talent of him and also Sam Walker with that chip and chase.
Yeah, obviously two great young players, and we knew what they were going to do all week. We knew that Walker just plays footy. He goes out there and looks like he's playing backyard footy and just having the time of his life. And that little chip and chase just showed what he can do. And Swali, I thought he was one of the best on the ground, to be honest. He's carries out of the backfield off set starts and kicking in those corners. He really made his pay and just got through the teeth of our middles, which they were really disappointed with. But that sort of jump over Hayes, it just reminded me of a young Israel Folau when I was out there. That's all I was thinking about when he scored it. And look, it's a special talent. And we had Will playing in our centres who sort of went to school together and he was talking that he just used to do that all the time at school. And look, he's excited. I don't know if his best position's on the wing or you've got to get him closer to the ball, but he's going to be a great talent.
You got a tough game on Friday night coming up against Manly, and I heard a couple of the Manly boys speak yesterday about Desi's put them on notice that performances like that are unacceptable. And coming off a bad loss to the Broncos, they'll be ready for you. So what do you have to do well against Manly, mate? You've played them a number of times over the last couple of years.
Yeah. I think you just nailed it on the head. We got to go back to playing our power game and going after the collision and just competing on all the little things. And then when we get that opportunity down the short side and playing through them, we got to take it. But as you said, Des put them on notice and Brad sort of didn't go too hard the other day, but I'm sure he will today. And we have to be able to react. We want to get back to winning more games. We can't keep riding this roller coaster, win, loss, poor performance, good performance. It's about consistency and the best teams do it. And we're back at home and we have to go after the game. And if we don't, you know what's going to happen. So we have to go after it and play the style of footy we want to play and do it regularly.
Do you think your old mate Tommy Turbo will be named? Will be playing?
Look, hopefully you want to be able to play the best players in the game. And look, I watched that game the other night, and there was something wrong. I'm not sure what it was, but the week before he looked alright. He might have just got a knock on it early, but you obviously don't want to hurt that more. It was such a long season. We're only probably a quarter of the way through, and they're going to do what's best for him, not the team yet. And look, save him for Origin, I reckon, but we'll see what happens.
Just give him the 1 week off.
just give him 78 minutes off and just leave on the two, but save him for Origin. We need him around Origin time to get that shield back. But look, we're looking forward to the challenge. We're back at home on a Friday night, and after a bit of a blow from Brad, and we need to get out there, and our forwards are going to be revved up.
Thanks so much, as always, Gutho.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Gutho there and Parra, $1.35, Manly, $3.25.
Hard one, Mido. Like, I'll just think about sport in general. When you've got an area of your game of weakness, it's quite easy to concentrate on improve and fix. When it's attitude or concentration or hunger, sometimes it's hard to find. And it seems with Parra's that good, it's not their stock. It's not their individual player. It's not the skills. They've got all the skills. But at the moment, it seems like at times lack of hunger, at times lack of discipline, at times lack of concentration, that's allowing them to lose games they should be winning.
Yeah.
That's hard to train, right?
Yeah.
That is more the mental. You have to do it individually. When you get out of bed, it's like, this game today is our grand final. That's hard to do day in, day out, every training sessions. But Gutho's right. The best teams and the best players, it's like when you make 100, the next time you walk out to bat, you just take just a few things a little bit for granted. Like you're not as disciplined with your defense at the start of your innings, or that ball you would normally let go, you now try and push at and drive. The best batsmen in the world, they don't, mate. They let it go, wait till the bowler comes to them, and that's why they can score so many runs over a long period of time. So I'd imagine footy's the same.
Well, when I watch Parramatta, I know exactly what – well, I believe I know exactly what works for them, and that's that power go.
And you'd imagine Brad Arthur sees it as clearly as you do.
Yeah, and it's all about them going forward, and then they can put an edge back rower and a half back, break it down, and once they break it down, it's back through the middle or down a short side. Rather than going these extravagant long shifts, because when they do that, to me, they get loose then in defence.
Yeah.
And they're spending all this, and I don't think they've got the skill on the edges to have that catch pass.
Yeah, okay.
I look at Opacek. And who's the other centre? Will Pennicini.
Yeah.
They're not catch pass centres.
Yep.
They're running centres. And I remember that game against the Tigers where they tried to force it and it just was going over the sideline. So for me, as much as you get excited, you want to play that brand of footy.
It's not your style.
It's not your style. That's,
so it's the that's discipline not, to be me, able to keep doing that though, Lodge,
for me,
right?
If I'm talking to that's not going to win us a grand final.
Yep.
This year
will
win us a grand final because I know that style of footy will hold up in a big game if you're doing it well.
But that's the player then having the discipline day after day to stay in your lane,
just
right?
Stay in the lane and stay doing this. And I don't care whether the opposition know what we're going to do.
Yeah, who cares? We'll still beat them.
They're going to stop us.
Yeah, okay.
But if we play this other way, it's not going to suit us.
Yep.
And then the flip side of that is every time I watch Parramatta play and they try and move it and sideline to sideline, that's when they become loose in defence, I reckon. And I don't know why, but it just seems as though there's more holes, the spacing is not right, and people can push through them, and they're a bit soft in contact. But I reckon when they're playing that tough brand with the football, that translates to tough brand without the football in defence. And that's what works. But I reckon once they start getting a bit loose with the footy, that just goes straight back into their defence.
Yeah, okay.
Coming up later this morning, Denny Widler, just after 8 o'clock from the Nine Network, and we'll get his take and his information of Trent Barrett leaving the Dogs as well. Robbie Slater later this morning. You missed Robbie yesterday, Clarkie.
How was he?
He wasn't on.
Oh,
couldn't get a hold of him. The phones blew up after 8:30.
Well, we
might have had a big weekend.
No, he was available.
We just couldn't.
Yeah, the phone lines were down.
Oh, so not his fault, our fault.
No, it was our fault, not Robbie's fault.
You won't be happy ass later.
No, probably not. Well, we got him on, but we couldn't get him on air. So the boys ring him. They had him holding for a couple of minutes.
Oh, he won't be happy ass later.
No.
Lots to talk about as well, Mido, in the football world, isn't there?
Plenty. Well, the
Did City, did City draw?
City drew
did I see
yesterday.
That? Yeah.
So just the door
You're
slightly
saying there's
ajar.
A chance, Liverpool.
Saying there's a chance. They've got a game tomorrow morning at Southampton. Huge game. They just have to
Southampton
win.
Won't beat them, will they?
Well, at this stage of the season, strange stuff can happen, Clark.
In Southampton? Away from home. Is the game in Southampton?
Yes.
Good venue. Been there. That's where I played county cricket.
The Rose Bowl?
Yep.
Yeah.
You had a year down there under Warney as captain. Wasn't that an experience? Talk about learning the ropes as a youngster.
Anything safe for radio?
Nothing to report on radio. Just learnt what it took to be a professional cricketer.
What did it take?
You walk away from that going, geez, is this what it's like?
Oh, what a life. Good. I thought, what a life. And I remember one game we had, it was a county game, so 4 day, and I said to Warney comes up to me on the last day of the game and said, we're going to London. I said, what do you mean? He said, as soon as the game's over, we're going to London. I'm like, oh, okay. We've got to be there by 5 o'clock. I was like, mate, the game doesn't finish till six. He's like, no. He warned his captain of the team. He said, no, it'll be over before then. I said, what are we going to London for? He said, we're going to the premiere of Catwoman. We're sitting beside Halle Berry and Sharon Stone.
Stop it.
Like, what? What are you talking about? Firstly, I'm confused how this game is going to be over. So really, London's an hour and a half drive from Southampton. Yeah. Got it home, change, fine clothes, know nothing about it. So the game really had to be over by 3 o'clock for us to go.
What, he bowled you to victory?
Mate, Warney bowled the whole day from one end. did not blink an eyelid. Made sure it was over by then. But
how were Halle and Sharon?
Oh, life was good under Shane Warne, put it that way. On and off the field. He was a brilliant skipper, great captain. Read the game so well. That was the other thing. You would learn so much watching his captaincy style. Like even if he put you in a position, certainly when he was bowling, like I would field at slip or short cover. But at times he wanted you to stand in a specific spot and not move. And obviously he knew where the ball was going to go, so much experience. So there was one game I was at short cover and I was talking to Dimitri Mascarenhas, one of my good mates in the team, and we're fluffing around in between balls. And then when I went back to my position, I was off the mark. Like I was, I don't know, maybe a metre to my left. And I missed a catch, dive full stretch to my right and missed a catch. Mate,
Fury.
Warney ripped me. Stopped the game. Come over and pointed to me. Show me where the mark was on the ground where he put me. I said, mate, I told you to stand there for... I was like... Sorry, Mr. Warren.
Sorry, mate.
But he did, again, so specific, but he knew. He just knew what he could do, how much he spun the ball. So if a batsman was to try and hit it against the spin on the leg side, this is the angle the ball's going to go. So you're there for a reason. I was like, man, like just phenomenal the knowledge
to
be so specific. But that, again, a lot of things made him a good leader, but that was one of them. Tactically, he was a genius.
Royce's big walk, fellas, and Panthers legend Royce Simmons going to join us shortly. And day one today, they're walking from Goolagong to Cowra. So just a lazy 38 Ks there. And he's got Brad Fittler and Andrew Farrer with him as well. And tonight they're going to be at the Cowra Bowling Club from 7 p.m. for an event there. There's events in Carcor, in Blaney, at Bathurst Panthers. There's a sports dinner there. Alfie will be there. John Cartwright, Martin Lang, Barry Walker as well. And then there's a Bathurst. There's another event. Where else are they going? Lithgow Workers Club, Katoomba RSL. So anyone around those areas who'd like to get involved, just to contact those establishments.
How many days, Mido, is the walk from start to finish?
Well, today's day one,
yep.
And it finishes Friday week. So 11 days. 11 days.
It's a good effort, that.
So they're going to get to...
That's tough.
Yeah.
They're going to get to Penrith Park and walk in there ahead of the Penrith Cowboys game Friday week away. So...
Unreal.
Unbelievable.
You know, Alan Border does really big walks. He's done a few for charity, but he also, in regards to, like, training, him and his wife, they walk for hours and hours. I remember talking to AB about one of his big walks, and he said, Clarky, people think you just put your joggers on and go for a walk. He said, mate, it actually, the next day, you feel it like you've played a test match. He said, your feet, your blisters, you need to change your socks, you've got to take spare shoes from sweat. He said, mate, the preparation is, it was no different to like when you played. You don't realise how much it actually hurts your body.
Yeah, I remember walking with Dean Jones.
Yeah, okay.
He was
walking
to Melbourne.
Well, yeah. Yep.
And I walked from Junee to Wagga. And that's about 40K, I suppose. But I,
mate.
And I'm thinking, oh, this will be all right. I haven't done much practice.
Mate, how were the calves?
Calves were sore. But the funny thing is you start off and you chat with everyone.
Yeah.
And then 5K's into it, you're thinking, oh, well, this is pretty easy. And then 10K into it, you're going, this is pretty tough. And you don't do too much communicating and all you want is water. It was quite hot when I did the walk because he was walking to the MCG for the Boxing Day test.
Yeah.
But by the end of the day, I had blisters and I couldn't walk the next day. It took me ages to recover.
Well, I don't know whether they've got to Billamara yet out that way, but they've started... From Goolagong to Cowra, joining us on the line. And I believe he's got a couple of legends there with him as well, and the likes of Andrew Farrer and Brad Fittler. Royce Simmons. Royce, good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, we've just left Goolagong. had a real big crowd turn up this morning to see us off. So, yeah, we're just heading out, heading towards Cara now.
Now, Roycey, I know that you'll cover 38 8Ks easily, but what about Fittler and Farrah?
I think Andrew's okay, but Freddie's a bit dodgy, I think, right now. I don't think a lot of preparation's been put in.
Yeah, I mean, spirits are obviously high today, but to what extent, Royce, do you know what you're in for?
Yeah, I've had a bit of experience in this stuff before. When I was over at Hull in England years ago, we needed a bit of money to bring Desi Hasler over to play, so I run 5 marathons in 5 days to earn a few bucks, so... And then I did the Kokoda Trail for Panthers on the Prowl charity. I did that a couple of years back. So I've done a few things like this.
He knows what he's in for.
I say, Royce, this will be a walk in the park for you. How do you prepare for it, though, Royce, as well? Is there, again, for the people that haven't had the experience that you've had, is there anything you can do to, again, Loz was just talking about when he did a walk with Dean Jones, the blisters on his feet, and I've spoken a lot to Alan Border that's done a fair bit of this as well. How do you prep for it?
Well, a lot of hard work for a start, obviously, yep. But then you've got to think about things like the night, the different, creams and that to put in your feet to take the moisture out of them, and, seamless socks and seamless things on, all little things like that that help you on the way, yeah. Now I shouldn't have said, I've mentioned some creams, and I'm getting some abuse from a couple of blokes I'm walking with. Something about your soft little bludger or something like that.
Blocker's joining you as well. Blocker and Ciro, they're going from Woodstock to Carcor. How's Blocker's preparation been?
Oh, well, to be quite honest, Blocker and Ciro had something to come up. Must have been with the Tigers or something, and they couldn't end up making it. But we've got a lot of, like, I'm joined by Kurt Fernley tomorrow, which will be great, and Gary Jack one other day, and Gene Miles and Wally Lewis, Alfie Langer, Johnny Cartwright, Nobby Clark, and the list goes on, yeah.
Amazing. Oh, it's great, Royce, that a lot of people can support you. How are you going, mate? How are you travelling?
All good, mate. I just can't believe the support of the rugby league community. That have just jumped straight in, and everyone from like I said, even a couple of Queenslanders are coming down to join me, and so it's been it's real exciting, mate, to get everyone in. It's unbelievable, too, how the support of the little towns have been so good, too. Penrith's been unbelievable, the support I've got out of that city. It's been really tremendous. And the little towns along the way between Goolagong and Cowra, they're all booked out. Every function we're going to is all booked out. So it's just amazing, what the people can do to get behind, So... we're going to end up doing really well out of this. I've got a lot of the motivation out of this from Mark Hughes, the things he done for brain cancer and so on, and the money he's raised. He's raised millions and millions, he has, for brain cancer. So, I thought, well, I've seen what he done. I thought, well, why don't I get up and get going and do something a bit positive myself. So, I'd like to thank him too for the encouragement. He's gave me over his hard work over the last few years.
Now you're walking to Cowra today. How long will that take you from start to finish?
Oh, look, mate, I'm only guessing, but I'd say about 8 hours. Oh, yeah,
8 hours.
About 8, I think. I've got to be up there. We've got a couple of things up there. They've got a coaching clinic up there, the Sabo, and a function tonight. So. We're hopefully up there in 8 hours. Otherwise, we'd be running into a bit of trouble. We'll be too late.
Now, you've got a lot of people that are going to turn up along the way. And I want to ask you, mate, who are you expecting to be the most annoying Because there's got to be a pest on there at some point in time.
Well, these two today are already acting pretty intelligent. So I've got my work cut out there, but...
I reckon you'll have to be careful when Alfie gets there.
I wasn't putting him in the competition because he's in another class. He's a world champion. He'll win that competition hands down.
Well, it's as admirable as it gets, Royce, and loving these events that you've got in all these towns along the way as well. And just a reminder to everyone, the website is roycesbigwalk.com.au. That's the best place to donate, Royce.
That's great. Thanks for anyone out there that gives me some support, and I hope there's plenty of it. Thank you.
Good on you, Royce.
Good on you, Royce.
Brilliant.
Oh, boys. Thanks very much.
Royce Simmons there, and roycesbigwalk.com.au. Just a lazy 8 hours today.
It's 8 hours, then he's got a coaching clinic, then he's got a function to go
to, and then,
he's got to go tomorrow. 11 days straight. Yeah. Come on, what a genius.
That's what I mean, mate. Like, to do it, by the end, he'll be absolutely buggered. He's actually prepared for it, but some of the others, they don't know what they're getting themselves in for, especially the ones that have said two or three.
Well, like, oh, that feeling. No way.
It is.
Blisters on your feet. Can't put your shoes on day four.
No. And Royce will receive a lot of support. I mean, he's mentioned the rugby league world, but also, you know, being out there from the country, the little country towns. Royce has been a bit of a trailblazer, coming from, you know, where he's from, Goolagong. You know, people will support him, and it's great to see so many ex-players get out there and help him as well. He's going through a difficult period, he and his family, raising much needed awareness and also funds. So if you can support, please do.
Neil Payne getting involved as well, I'm seeing.
I think Payne, he's from out that way.
Yeah, he's from Cowra.
Cowra.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so he's a guest at the Lithgow Workers Club, as is Tim Sheens and Robbie Farrar, Chris Lawrence as well.
Terry Lamb.
Yep. At the
Johnny Cartwright's getting out there. Martin Ling.
Well, Wally Lewis at the Katoomba RSL.
Yeah. Mark
on Wednesday.
Dyer.
Gee, I'll tell you what, the names he's got for these events, unreal. Willow from Windsor on the text line, we can't wait to see you at Penrith Park on the 27th. Royce, it'll be a ripper night. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but when he walks into that stadium, that is going to be emotional.
It will be.
That will be fantastic on Friday week.
The place will erupt, Middle.
Oh.
He's one of their favourite sons, Royce Simmons, and was part of their first ever grand final winning team. Scored two tries in that grand final in 91.
Great memory.
Probably still hasn't had a beer with everyone.
But has tried.
He's just a wonderful fella, Royce.
Brad Davidson, morning to you, mate.
Yeah, morning, Jared. Morning, everyone.
What'd you make of the Scone Carnival overall?
Yeah, it was a good carnival, wasn't it, there, like, the 2 days? Obviously, you guys were there to enjoy it, but plenty of strong winners throughout the couple of days. Rustic Steel, of course, taking out the cup in secret, I thought was a very good winner of the Woodlands, and bringing the ransom, causing an upset in the mare's race. But no, good carnival, big track as always, and horses able to make their run on as well. So great carnival, great to see it back to 2 days, and I'm sure it was well supported out there by everyone.
What'd you make of Marzu, mate?
Yeah, Lozzi was great, wasn't he? Got the job done there in the Doomben 10,000. He was obviously well supported, and I think the right move as well by the club to, you know, transfer that meeting from Doomben to Eagle Farm with the weather the way it was there on Saturday. So I thought he did a good job. Look, he's got to step up again, I think, to be claiming a Tab Everest later this year. I mean, he's only just beaten Paul Ailey, and Paul Ailey's kind of, well, he's pretty much announced himself as that sort of second stringer at this stage. I think it's fair to say he's a couple of lengths off the best of them. So that's where he probably sits at this stage. But you know, he's come a long way this preparation, so we'll see where he ends up in the spring. But I believe they're likely to spell him now, and all systems go towards the Tab Everest. But, of course, also a great moment for Sam Clippett. And I think it was 14 Group 1 seconds before, since his last Group 1 win, guys, and he deserved it. And just a bit of a, I guess, a, you know, real culmination of where he's come this last 6 months or so, Sam. I think it's fair to say, go back 12 months ago, and he was really struggling in Sydney, really struggling to make his mark and struggling to ride winners. And not sure what's changed, but something has, and he's just really turned the corner. And his last 6 months have been really consistent, and he's gone to that new level as a rider and got, you know, opportunities like Marzu there on the weekend, and great to see him break through for another Group 1 win.
Not for the first time, there's been some commentary about track ratings, Davo.
Yeah, Jared, something that I'm pretty passionate about. And look, I think it's fair to say that the track, I think we're way too conservative with track ratings, to be honest. We seem to go up heavy when tracks are soft so often. And what it does do is it means that we get 50, 60 scratchings every Saturday morning because the trainers see the official rating and they go, well, I don't want to run on a heavy track. I mean, there was a lot of commentary there on Friday and Saturday at Scone. You know, a couple of the timing experts were saying that basically Friday they ran the same time as the Scone Cup last year and it was rated a heavy track, and last year was a good four. They were running quicker times in a number of races on the Friday than they were Friday last year. Yet it was a good four last year and a heavy nine this year. And then Saturday they put up a heavy nine and it was retrospectively changed to a heavy eight after race one and got to a soft seven. All the timings experts that day were saying it was soft five, soft six at very worst. So I think we need to find a better system. At the moment, obviously, the tracks are rated, the jockeys give their thoughts, and jockeys are definitely one part of the picture. But I remember when I used to work for the Telegraph, I'd ask the jockeys when they come in after race one or two on a wet track how it was like. Some would say it was heavy, others would say it was soft, and others would say the rating was just spot on because, you know, every horse handles it differently. So I think that's only one part of the picture, and I think we really need to get a few of these timings experts on board and get their thoughts after every race as well and find the middle ground, because at the moment we've got the timing experts saying the track's a good four, a soft five. We've got the jockey saying it's a heavy, where I think the truth's probably somewhere in the middle there, because we've got to kind of use both tools to help out that system. So, I mean, we're only hurting ourselves at the end of the day, because heavy tracks mean a lot more scratchings and that's going to have an impact on turnover. So, look, I think the track on Saturday at Scone was more like a 5-6, soft 5, soft 6, and we end up getting to a 7, but it took us until halfway through the card to get there as well. So, definitely something I think we need a bit of a change on, and hopefully we can find a system that I think works for everyone.
There'll be some eyes at Rose Hill Gardens this morning, mate, with a couple of jump outs.
Yeah, there will, Lods. Home Affairs and Nature Strip set to contest there, jump out against each other there at Rose Hill. Hopefully we can get some vision of that. Obviously not an official trial, so we'll see if we can find some information about that and report back to tomorrow. But obviously, horse is heading towards Royal Ascot, so a nice little tick over and build that fitness level before they head overseas.
And, gave a push for In Secret. I think a lot of us will be following her going forward. Anything else to keep an eye on?
Looks a really nice horse, that In Secret, for the Godolphin Yard. 11-11 was great as well, over the 1100. Finished off really strongly. Always thought it was going to be a bit short for him, and I think he's a better 7 furlong horse in time. So whatever he's heading towards his preparation, I think follow him as well.
Great stuff, Davo. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.